This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, head to nature.com/nature/podcast.
Back in 2014, the Nobel Prize in Physiology and Medicine was granted for the discovery of cells which constitute a positioning system in the brain. Some of the key cells in question are called grid cells, special neurons which activate depending on where an animal is. It's sort of like an internal mental map created by multiple grid cells firing in geometric grid-like patterns. Despite winning a Nobel Prize, there's still a lot we don't know about this neural GPS, and grid cells can be tricky to study experimentally. Now, neuroscientists from University College London, or UCL, have teamed up with machine learning experts at Google-owned company DeepMind. They wanted to see if artificial neural networks could help reveal more about how mammals navigate. I decided to set out for UCL to find out more. Today, I'm off to see Caswell Barry at UCL. Now, UCL happens to be just down the road from the Nature offices, so here I am walking down Euston Road, hoping I can find my way to his department. Aha, this looks like it. Hiya.
Hey,
nice to meet you.
Try and get through the labyrinth of UCL.
So I've just made my way here in sort of mostly a straight line with a few detours from the Nature offices. So what kind of things are going on in my brain while I'm trying to find this place?
So we know quite a lot about how the brain navigates. It has sort of multiple strategies and multiple different types of brain cell. So very broadly, you could divide the strategies into route-based, where you know a sequence of actions that will get you somewhere and you can follow them, or sort of map-based, where maybe you want to take a route that you haven't followed exactly before, but you know where these places you're going from and to are relative to each other. And so if you followed a straight line route to UCL, then you're almost certainly using a map-based strategy. And that's exactly what we think grid cells and their cousins, place cells, are important for. They're essentially the brain's way of representing space. And once you've got a representation of space, you can use it a bit like a map to plan routes between places we've not gone that route before, or maybe take a shortcut or work around something if there's a barrier to the way you want to get through. So it's a sort of flexible navigational strategy, and that's presumably what you were doing.
And so we've known about grid cells and that particular element of navigation for a while, and the research got a Nobel Prize in 2014, but that doesn't mean we necessarily know everything about it, so you still want to sort of dig into how it works a bit more.
What most people agree on is that grid cells look like they're important for path integration, so that is updating where you think you are based on how you're moving. So if you know you're somewhere and you move 10 feet to the north, then you know you're somewhere else. But equally, there's sort of an emerging idea that you can do more with grid cells. If they really do function like the sort of backbone of a map, then actually you can use them to do things like plan direct routes. And so that's called vector-based navigation. But that was still to be proven. It's hard to prove experimentally, precisely because in an animal brain, you can't just go in and sort of shut down the grid cells or change what they're doing. That's one of the things we wanted to use artificial agents to test here.
And that's where you've been working with the people at DeepMind who work on neural networks and machine learning.
Yes, exactly. So this was sort of very much a collaboration in several ways. It was a collaboration between UCL and DeepMind, but equally it was effectively a collaboration between neuroscientists and machine learning people.
And in this case, you were interested in a specific problem, tasks that you think grid cells are responsible for, so you wondered how will AI cope with those?
Yes, exactly. So in the first instance, we set the network the task of performing path integration. So we essentially told it where it was to start with, we told it how it was moving, and we asked it to predict where it was, which is something we think grid cells are very important for in the brain. And so remarkably, we found that the network could learn to do this, and actually the strategy employed ultimately developed representations that were startlingly like grid cells. They shared the same hexagonal firing patterns, they shared similar ranges of scales, so grid cells in animals come in multiple scales. So it really was a sort of very striking and remarkable convergence of form and function.
And the reason you're interested in this is because of the brain. You're a neuroscientist. So what did this machine then tell you about the way that the brain is working?
Unlike an animal brain, it's very easy to sort of go in and access, you know, what is any given neuron in this artificial agent doing at a given time. And also we potentially have direct control over them. So one of the things we did to understand what advantage the grid cells had inferred on it was we asked it to navigate, but then we could silence some of the grid cells and we could then easily test, you know, what can't it do? And so it's a very sort of powerful test bed for doing something that you would traditionally have done in neuroscientific experiments, but now we're doing it in this sort of artificial model.
And how good is this program at navigating a maze, say?
It's better than humans. So one of the things we did was test in the same set of environments how well a professional games player could perform the same task. So ultimately the task is that you start off at some location, you find your way around, you find a goal, then you get teleported somewhere new and you have to find your way back to the goal. And so the artificial agent is better than the professional games player, who is considerably better than me, I'd imagine.
And aside from helping you sort of understand the neuroscience of it, is this machine that's better at navigating mazes than humans, is that going to be useful at all?
This agent is very good at navigating, certainly in sort of changeable, complex worlds. And so clearly there are uses for things like that. You know, if you any point you have sort of autonomous vehicles or things that need to find their way around complex environments, then an approach like this, essentially borrowed from the mammalian brain, might prove to be quite effective. Of course, there are scenarios where it wouldn't be. So if you just have to follow the same route day in, day out, then actually grid cells are much less useful. You might want a path-based strategy.
And so do you think this is a sort of field, neuroscience-machine learning combo field that's going to be sort of growing from now on?
Yes, I do. I'm very hopeful that maybe we should call it neuro-AI, but there's definitely mutual benefits to be had. On the machine learning side of things, then demonstrably taking things that we know about how the brain solves problems is really useful and can be incorporated into machine learning approaches and makes those approaches more robust and more flexible. But equally, we're starting to see sort of information flow back the other way now, so that understanding how machine learning approaches solve a particular problem is starting to tell us a lot about how the brain might have solved the same sorts of problems. And that's potentially very powerful in a new way of doing neuroscience.
That was Caswell Barry of University College London. You can find his paper and a News and Views article at nature.com/nature. And if you want to know about some previous work DeepMind has done with neural networks, you can head on over to YouTube and search for our film, The Computer That Mastered Go.